Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
To today's show, Mark Kohler here with my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, ready to rock the house with our, gosh, I think one of our most, it's going to be one of our most fun shows, and we're going to have, I need to give a disclaimer, because we're going to talk about the death of a fellow human being, Prince, you know, love him or hate him as an artist, but, I don't want to celebrate the passing of someone, but we're going to talk about estate planning and his current situation. And, oh, my gosh, this is like TMZ replayed right here, Matt. This is good.
This is a teaching moment, It's one of those teaching moments for attorneys where we try and take something that happened and, make something good out of it. Even though, his music still lives on, but I'm actually excited to talk about estate planning and go through today's show. And I think it's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it.
And his music doesn't live on Spotify, that's for sure. I don't know where it's living on. You can't freaking buy it anywhere unless you, walk into a retro record store somewhere. iTunes, Spotify, he was so protective of his music rights. It's like crazy. It's impossible to get a decent copy of his music. But now, here's what's going to be fun about the show, everybody. I've got a trivia game show here. I'm going to play. See, not only do we get to talk about Prince, we get to talk about the 1980s. This is huge. So we're going to do a little trivia. We're going to be doing our tax and legal tips as usual, and we're going to be talking about the disaster of his estate and how we don't want it to happen to any of you. I mean, oh, my gosh, Matt, it just doesn't end. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and, so. What better topic than the 80s? Those were the glory years, right? So. Anything 80s related, we're gonna take advantage of.
Yep, and this topic, estate planning. I know the topic estate planning, just those words, does not really kind of get many people excited as a conversational piece. So we take this time around Memorial Day to talk about it because it's special. This is a special time.
It's special, and with that special time is a pricing special that we have in our office. And did you like that? That was like a QVC setup, It's like how they these knives are really cool. How can I buy them? Can you buy them anywhere? Oh, funny. No.
That's right.
That was a Mark Kohler setup for me. So, but in all seriousness, there's one time a year where we discount our estate planning prices. And that is going to start tomorrow, 25% off of our normal prices for estate planning. And we do it around this time of Memorial Day. We started doing it a few years back because it really is a serious time of reflection for people that have passed on in our lives before. And it's one of those times to think about yourself and your own mortality and your own estate and really trying to do some proactive planning. So there's some obvious seriousness to it, and we want to make it serious and also give an incentive during that time for you to get your estate plan done by having 25% off for a normal rate just to get you over the hump. I think 9 out of 10 of our clients say, I want to get the estate plan done, and a lot of them have done it, but for those that don't get it done, it's just like something they want to do but last on their list, so we're trying to get you over the hump with a special just to get it done, but get it in now. And you'll see announcements from us if you're signed up for our newsletter. And obviously, you can contact the office directly.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to procrastinate getting your will and trust done. And as we talk about the Prince saga, you're going to be thinking, oh my gosh, I may not be worth $300 million, but do I want to leave a mess for my family? And that's the theme that we can take away, mm-hmm. and we're going to be coming back to that throughout the show time and time again. Today is how important it is to not leave a mess. I mean, you've worked so hard for your money and assets, and you've worked hard to raise good family members, hopefully good kids, and you don't want to leave them a bunch of money that just creates a train wreck in their lives. So anyway, we've got lots of good stuff. So we've got to do our tips here, but I want to jump into some trivia right away because this is going to be good. And so maybe we start with a legal tip, and then we could throw out a little trivia too, because I want to get the show really hopping. Is that all right, Matt?
Okay, yeah. Let me give a legal tip, and then you hit some trivia. So this is, of course, this is a cutting edge legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
Okay, now here's the legal tip. This is right off the desk of President Barack Obama. As of this morning, a new rule was put out regarding overtime pay. Now, this is important if you are, obviously, you work for a business and may work overtime hours, or if you are a business owner and you're employing people, this is even more important. So, generally speaking, obviously, if someone works over 40 hours a week, there is overtime pay of time and a half that needs to be paid for over 40 hours a week. Now, there's an exemption to that for someone who has managerial duties or is a professional. However, they needed to be paid a salary of at least about $23,000. Now, that has now been increased, and this is the new change. The minimum salary for someone to be considered managerial or professional and exempt from the rules, overtime rules, is now $47,000 per year. The inflation number's never been adjusted since they made the last number, so it's essentially one of the goals of this was trying to catch up to inflation. So that is the new salary level. Minimum for someone to be considered managerial or professional and automatically exempt from overtime rules. There are some small business exemptions for businesses under $500,000 a year. So just keep that in mind. This rule doesn't go into effect until December 1st, but kind of an interesting update on overtime rules for anyone you know that may work hourly, or obviously for those clients as employee others, and they may have to deal with these overtime issues.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, good stuff. And for business owners, you got to take that stuff seriously. It's a very important topic. So good stuff. Matt, great tip. Now, before I give my tax tip, can I throw out a little 80s trivia, you know, to kind of set the tone for our Prince conversation? Is that right? You ready?
Okay. All right, yes.
Okay. Okay, now no Googling, because this is too much to Google, because you're just going to come at you. You're just going to have to go with your gut reaction here. Okay.
All right.
Now, in the year Prince released When Doves Cry off the album Purple Rain, when he released that single, which went platinum, When Doves Cry,
yeah.
You've got to answer which one of these four events took place that same year. Okay.
Okay.
First, was Dallas the number one TV show? Number two, did the Los Angeles Raiders win the Super Bowl? Was Return of the Jedi the number one movie? Or did the space shuttle, was that the year the space shuttle exploded 73 seconds after takeoff? So in the year Purple Rain came out, When Doves Cry, did the space shuttle blow up? Was Dallas the number one TV show? Or Return of Jedi number one?
Yeah.
And then finally, did the Raiders win the Super Bowl? Which one was it?
I'm going to go with Return of the Jedi, number one movie.
Ooh, good guess. And that's a good one.
Is that a win?
But you're wrong.
Or is it Dallas?
You lost. Yeah. No, you were wrong. I hate to say. Now, When Doves Cry came out, Purple Rain came out in 1984, and Return of the Jedi, can you believe this? Return of the Jedi, crazy, over 30 years old. Return of the Jedi came out in 1983. And so the year before was Return of the Jedi. In 1983, Dallas was the number one TV show. And in 1986 was when the space shuttle blew up. So all we had was your final answer. The Los Angeles Raiders won the Super Bowl in 1984. There you go.
Boy.
So, boy, is that crazy?
Well,
good memories.
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought the Raiders always sucked, but I guess they were good at one point. That was before I was old enough to watch football.
Yeah, if we had Jaron Bergeson on the show, our in-office NFL trivia, he would have got that for sure. So, you know,
he
that would have been tough.
The final score and who was the MVP.
Yeah, that's right. Our dear listeners, you would be blown away. Jaron Bergeson in our office, our attorney extraordinaire, who we've had give quite a few tips over the years on the radio show, he can name every Super Bowl, who won it, the score, and the MVP. Is that crazy? Well, guess what he's reading at night. So, all right.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into some more trivia, how about we have a little tax tip?
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Ooh, there's that refreshing Sprite can opening up for all of you. This is a refreshing tax tip. And this is an important part of the show. Welcome to those that are just joining us. This is all about building your wealth, saving taxes, and better protecting your assets. So here's a little tax tip. Every week we do a little tip, and hopefully this one will add to your wealth-building experience. So I've had several calls over the last 2 weeks on this very topic, and I thought it might be a good tax tip time. I've had a number of clients that are in the process of selling their personal residence, and they're trying to get creative. And just yesterday, I gave a client four options, and they were like, oh, and it got them thinking. I said, all right, I'll get back to you. So they had just bought a new home that they got in a killer deal, a foreclosure, and they were going to do a little fix-up, but they were going to move into it. So it was going to be their primary residence. So they said, what are my options to save taxes on this, because we could flip it and probably make 50 grand in the next 6 months. So what should we do? What are our options? So I said, well, option one is you can sell it within the first year and take short-term capital gain. So short-term capital gain is essentially whatever your tax rate is. Now, there's no self-employment tax, which is nice, but whatever your tax rate is, you would pay that. That's called short-term capital gain. Better than ordinary income, but not as good as long-term capital gain, which is option two. So I said, if you can stay in it at least 1 year, so just make it one more year, then you could get long-term capital gain, which could be as low as 0% tax rate, depending on the bracket you're in, up to 20%. And so you kind of run the numbers as to what your normal bracket is each year and what it might look like. Option three, I said, try to live in it at least 2 years. Build some equity in it. Get to know the neighborhood. A lot of contractors of ours will move into a home, live in it 2 years, fix it up, sell it. Zero tax on the first 250 grand if you're single, 500 grand if you're married. And then option four, I said, if you keep it more than 2 years and you want to 1031 exchange it into another property, because they said we might even turn it into a rental, as long as you can put a renter in there for 9 months up to a year, somewhere in that mix, depending on your classification in real estate, and if you can throw a renter in there for 9 months to a year at any point in that equation, we could then 1031 exchange it, no tax, and roll all those profits into a new rental. So anyway, lots of options there. Little tax tip, talking about what to do with your primary residence.
Hey, love it. You know what? A lot of people are asking these questions now because they're actually making money when they're selling their house instead of selling in a short sell or just breaking even on it. So I love that conversation is coming back. It's becoming a much more hot topic, how to sell your home and not to pay tax.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good one. And so a lot of people are asking about it. So anyway, there are some options there. And now for those that have just joined us, we're going to be talking about Prince and his estate saga and what a mess it is. What a disaster. We're going to be doing some flashbacks to the 1980s, talking about some of Prince's music and encouraging all of you to get your estate planning done. And the timing here couldn't be better as we have our fourth annual estate planning special this month starting, and it only goes for 3 weeks. It kicks off tomorrow, so we'll be talking about that as well. Matt, should we do the question of the week? Should we go to some more trivia? We could go into Prince and come back to the question of the week. You know what? You're going to direct the show. Our show manager here, what do you want to do?
We're going freestyle today? All right.
I don't know.
You know, I've got my question of the week ready to go. I can get the new question of the week, but, you know, if you want to do last question of the week from last year or throw me a trivia question ahead of time, you know, whatever. Like I said, it's
okay.
Just freestyle.
All right. Well, we had a winner from last week, Troy. I'll throw out our question from last week. We had a winner, Troy, out of Dallas, Texas, regular listener, emailed in with the correct answer. It was just a quick. I could tell it was right off his phone. He won a copy of my book. Sorry, Matt. He did indicate if my question's right, I'd like Mark's book. I'm like, all right, no problem. We're going to ship that
people
right
buy
out
my
to
book,
him.
They get yours for free. That's okay.
you get what you pay for. So here was the question. The question was, is there an hour requirement to be classified as an active real estate investor? And just to set the stage here, my dear listeners, we want all of our clients to at least be qualified as active real estate investors. So you can write off up to $25,000 of rental property losses. That's depreciation, all those great write-offs against your other income based on your AGI. So there's some equations there. But we want all of our clients at least active, and you'd be shocked how many new clients come to us with their tax return, and they've jacked it up on TurboTax or their accountant didn't understand the difference between passive, active, and real estate professional. Anyway, is there a time requirement? Do you have to do something special to be active? Is there a time requirement? And Troy emailed in and said, Mark, no, there is no time requirement. I want your book. And I said, dude, you just won. And so, folks, we want all of you to just simply check the box. That's all you've got to do is check the freaking box, and you can qualify as an active real estate investor. We've done shows on the real estate professional classification, plenty of articles and chapters in our books on this topic. It's huge. Study up on it if we piqued your interest at all. That was the question of the week. We had a winner, Matt. So I'm excited to hear what you got for this week's question.
All right, Kay. Now, I'm keeping with the estate planning theme. So I'm going to do an estate planning question. And the question of the week is, and if you pay attention to this show, you might get the answer in today's show. So question of the week is, if you are single, not married, or let's say you've been divorced, and you die without completing any estate planning, who is the first group of persons who would receive your estate if they, and so you have to tell me what that classification is, who would be first, and then second, if those persons do not exist or are not living, who would be the second person to receive your estate, okay? So this is one of the problems that we're going to hear through the show today. If you don't do any planning, states have this defunct system that says this is who you meant to get it then, and that's just what's going to happen. So you got to give me that. You're single, die without any estate planning. Who's the first group of people who would receive your estate if they do exist or are living? And if they don't, who is the second? Who do they go to next?
I like it. Now, folks, if you want to win, all you have to do is take out a $20 bill, write the answer, and mail it to Matt Sorensen in Phoenix, Arizona. No, that's
right.
Not true. All you have to do is send an email. All you have to do is send an email to Matt, M-A-T, at KKOS Lawyers, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at KKOS Lawyers. Send us an email with your answer. First one to respond wins a copy of either mine or Matt's book. That's free shipping. Free. Did you hear the word free? On Amazon Prime, you're going to be out at least $15 for this. So this is a quick way to make $15 and participate in our show. Please send in your response right away. I like it, Matt. Great question. It's a tough one.
No, thank you.
A tough one, too.
Yeah.
Take a guess.
I know, yeah. Yeah. You know, but listen to the show. I think that the answer may be revealed if you follow the Prince saga.
That's right. It's very true. And as you listen during the show, respond. I know some of you are listening while on your treadmill, and you may think, oh, it's Saturday afternoon. Someone's already responded. Don't assume that. We have winners on all the time on Saturday and Sunday, kick in 3 or 4 days after the show. All right, Matt,
Mark,
you ready,
I'm ready
for some more trivia? You ready? Okay, all right. 1980 trivia. Okay, now, this is when Prince released the song Kiss, which starts out, should I sing it? You don't have to be beautiful. Okay, that's it. Okay, you know that song, Kiss? All right. You don't have to be beautiful.
I recognize it.
Okay. Even after that, how I just butchered it, that was, okay. I had to go up a couple octaves on that one. Okay. In that year that Prince released the song Kiss, which again also went platinum, which of the four events took place? Top Gun was the number one movie. Number two, Mark Kohler graduated from high school. Number three, The Cosby Show was number one. Thought that might be a nice throwback with all the news on Cosby.
Man.
Or number four, and because we have a home office in Utah, we've got a few Utah fans, was this the year BYU won the NCAA football national championship? So four albums. In the year Prince released the song Kiss and went platinum, did Mark Kohler graduate from high school? Top Gun was number one. BYU won the National Football Championship. Or was the Cosby Show number one? Which one was it?
Okay. Well, can I go through my process of elimination here?
Okay,
go
ahead.
I know Mark Kohler got a GED, so it can't be Mark Kohler graduate from high school. Okay. Number two.
We just lost some listeners. Okay.
I would rather get the question wrong than pick BYU as you know, being the year BYU won the quote, you know, air guitar quote here, national championship.
I share that sentiment.
That
I share that.
Down. That leaves me.
We are not BYU
Cosby
fans
show.
Here.
Right. In case you didn't know, that leaves me with Cosby Show and Top Gun. And given Bill Cosby's problems lately, I don't want to vote for him either. And you know what? I actually think it was Top Gun. And you want to talk about a great music also? The Top Gun theme song, Highway to the Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins. That's a classic.
That's a classic. Okay. Matt, you are the winner. You just won yourself a copy of my book, Mark Kohler's new book, The Tax and Legal Playbook.
Yeah.
I can mail that to you if you'd like. So you've got to be so excited.
You
want
to know what's funny? I bought my copy of the Tax Legal Playbook at Barnes & Noble. How do you like that?
Oof. Well, you can give away this
free
copy
you
just
fun.
Won.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Dude, process of elimination was really worked for you there. Yes, Top Gun. Goose died 30 years ago this year. We lost Goose.
Dude.
30 years ago. It was a tragic moment. Yeah. So now just a couple side notes. Cosby Show was number one the year I graduated from high school in 1987. Prince released Kiss in 1986, which was played at my prom, I'm sure. And BYU champs, you hate to say it, but they were the champs in 1984. So any BYU fan would have known that one, which I can't remember if it was McMahon or that was the quarterback. I think he was.
Is that Bobby Bosco?
Anyway.
Bobby Bosco?
I don't know. Who knows? You know, who cares?
Yeah,
that's the point.
Exactly. That's maybe more important.
Yeah, we just lost a couple more BYU listeners, but you know what? They know I talk crap on BYU. Okay, so kind of fun. So that again, so this kind of gets us into the Prince topic. So Prince, love him or hate him, obviously somewhat of an odd fellow, like many musicians. I'm not speaking of Matt Sorensen, who has his own band, but some musicians are a little odd. And but you know, he's an icon of the '80s, and really sad. There's still news coming out every day as to how he died and why he died, but that's not the purpose of this show. The purpose is to talk about the saga, the mess. So, Matt, do you want to set the stage? Why don't you set the stage where things stand right now?
Okay. All right. So Prince passed away just, you know, back in April. And since his passing, there's been, it happens with many celebrities. And you know what? I can say this too. This happens with ordinary people who have assets. It might not be $300 million, but it might be a home, some money in a retirement account, a life insurance policy, you know, a savings account. So this story happens all over America. You just don't hear about it because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have the songs on the Billboard charts and, you know, weren't selling out stadiums across the country. So this story, unfortunately, is comp, but he died without any estate planning. There's been a search for a will. I still haven't seen anything credible of anybody saying there's an actual will. But one of the things of Prince that's kind of interesting is he was married twice and divorced. He's married twice and divorced from 96 to 2000 and then 2001 to 2006. And he had a son who died. He had parents who are deceased. so that leaves him essentially with a full sister, a half brother, and now a whole slew of other people claiming to be half brothers, sisters, children of some of these people, and everybody's now coming into court saying we're family Prince, or I'm the son of Prince, or you know, and it's in court now. There's a judge overseeing things. It's a big mess. There's DNA tests being ordered for people to prove their you know, their family status to Prince, because everybody just wants a piece of the pie.
Yeah, it's really sad. And so, you know, and as we set the stage here, this is kind of all, I guess, setting the stage is watching this saga unfold, is a big part of this is because of his lack of planning, it's now in probate. Now, what probate is, for some of you that are like, what the crap is probate? Probate is the court process, the court system, where a public official, an appointed judge, typically a probate judge, will listen as to what the current situation is for this person that passed away. Do they have a will? What were their assets? What were their debts? They'll appoint an executor if no will exists, and they're going to listen to everybody in the world that has a claim for a debt or part of the estate. That's a probate. And folks, there are probate courts, probate judges, and probate attorneys that handle millions of probates each year because people do no planning. And in this process is public. There's notices put in the paper, obviously, with Prince. There's going to be some of that formal process taking place, but, of course, the news is all over it. That's what probate is, and that's what Prince's estate is stuck in now, is this public forum where a judge has got to sift through everything.
Yeah, and the cost of probate, I mean, just if you look at California, now California is one of the states, many states are like this, where they have a set fee of probate, 4% fee on your first $100,000. So if your estate's only $100,000, you're going to pay $4,000 in fees. And obviously, if your estate's larger, it's going to be a lot more painful in fees. The cost of going through probate are very expensive. It's such a better deal just from a cost standpoint to do an estate plan, not to mention that you get what you want. but just from a dollars and cents perspective, it's very expensive to go through probate.
Yeah, and the emotional costs, because, you know, some of these folks that pass away actually have spouses and children and parents where the dirty laundry is aired in front of the whole world, and
emotionally, they're trying to move on. They just went through a funeral that it could have been a tragic accident or death or unexpected. And meanwhile, 2 months later or sooner, they're drug into court to relive this over and over again with lawyers. And some of you may enjoy meeting with lawyers. Others don't. Of course, Matt and I were wonderful to meet with. But you've got to meet with lawyers and go to court. And it's very tumultuous, and it can be very antagonistic and emotionally draining. It's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've handled some probate cases. It's not what I do on a regular basis, but I've handled probate cases. Wild and crazy stories. Stuff that is like should be on TV, I swear. Someone committed suicide, and it's a fight over the estate, and literally a handwritten will, suicide note will. And you've got the girlfriend and the daughter fighting over an estate, and the daughter loses. I've had a probate case of someone who is married later in life to someone much younger, and the family all fought about that. And it was really both those cases were a lack of planning that caused the problem. And so, those ones were expensive and they tore families apart. And that's really unfortunate, but that seems to be what happens when anyone goes to probate. Just everybody comes out upset and happy, no matter who wins or loses. Nobody likes each other at the end.
No. Now, we're going to be giving tips here on things you can do. We don't want to just bemoan the terrible piece, the terrible result here and what's going on. So let me throw out the first tip here, is understanding what goes into probate and what doesn't. Even if you have a will or one of these kind of handwritten wills that's all litigious and when was the will written and blah, 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 blah. Even if you have a will that's notarized and witnessed 5 times and on gold-plated paper, whatever it is, even if you have a will, it's still going to go into probate, and it's going to be public. The best way to avoid probate is to have a trust, a family trust, revocable or irrevocable. We tend to be big fans of the revocable living trust just to kind of get things going, and your trust would allow you to avoid probate. And this is what's shocking about Prince. Through his entire life, he was avid. I mean, he was so protective of his music rights, and he would litigate and fight for music rights, and he was so upset about people that would take advantage of his assets that he had written this music. And then to have no plan at all of where this music goes when you die, and just to throw caution to the wind is just shocking. And so he could have easily had a trust own all these assets and avoided the probate altogether.
Yeah, and the trust is nice. Generally, you're going to put your home in the trust for most people. Any companies you own, LLCs, or even maybe an S-Corp, there's certain assets we like to put in the trust, and those are things that may end up in probate. Like, even if you have a will and you own a home, you're still going to have to go to probate court, and the judge is going to have to approve a deed to transfer that property. If it's in the trust, the trustee of the trust, the person you name, maybe it's, your heir, one of your heirs, or whoever it may be, that person gets to sign the deed and transfer it. No one's going to court. So that's a quick and easy example of how nice the trust is over probate court.
No, I love it. Now, let's get back into the story here, because the saga is pretty amazing here. Now, I want to reiterate what Matt said earlier. Because Prince has no spouse, okay, folks, this could be a hint for the question of the week that was earlier, because he has no surviving spouse or, next, no living children, then he has no parents, living parents, or grandparents that are living, then in Minnesota law, which is typical of most states, after you go through those parties, then the remaining assets have to be split equally between his parents' other children, whether half children or full siblings. Now, the reports are now is that there's one full sibling and 5 surviving half siblings. One of them that's amazing is this half brother, Matt, that you mentioned. It's the big, elephant in the room is this guy hasn't even been in touch with Prince for almost 30 years, mm-hmm. and they kind of hate each other. And now this half-brother is poised to inherit $50 to $100 million, somewhere in that range. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And this is very similar to the Jimi Hendrix story. So that's kind of now that's the first step of the saga. I want to talk about some of the claimants. But, I mean, Matt, you've been following this this closely, too, on this saga. What do you want to add to that?
Yeah, and that order that you mentioned is, you know, you look to the spouses and then kids and then parents and then it goes to siblings and, you know, children of parents. And it's that's the normal order of what you're going to see. And that is what the law assumes you would want to happen. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, that's the order I want it to go, it's not that bad, I guess. I mean, it's still going to be painful in public, and there's still a lot of pay the parts of probate, and there could have possibly been some tax planning in Prince's estate, too. Could be a larger estate, but that aside, I just think that most people don't want that order of things, and that's part of what the estate plan is going to do, and you outline that in the trust, and you put restrictions on it, and that half-brother that you don't like, you know, why is he going to now benefit from the things in your estate? So, the story is sadder and sadder because it seems like there's more and more people latching on, making claims. You know, every other day there's someone else who's a family member, claiming to be a family member, claiming to be a child. You know, there's people writing in from prison saying their mom, you know, slept with Prince this year and they're the son of Prince. And, you know, it's just like, oh, my gosh. What people are talking about.
Yeah, and let me hit some of those specifically because this is highlighted in mine and Jaron Bergeson's article this week. If you haven't gotten to the blog, please check out the newsletter, which comes out every Tuesday morning, every week, for the last 10-plus years. Literally, every Tuesday morning is our newsletter with a blog article, a video, important tips. Please check out the article and share it on your social media. It's a fun, interesting little article. And in there we highlight four of these kind of crazy – well, I'll just hit three. Three of these crazy claims. Number one is Kimberly Potts, a Minnesota woman who was actually arrested for trespassing at Prince's Paisley Park compound earlier this year. She claims she is due $500,000 because she helped create his 2004 album Musicology. Then we got number two, Rodney Dixon, a California man who claims – he should be considered the sole and exclusive owner of all the intellectual properties because Prince told him earlier, years ago, that he was the only one that got it, spiritually, musically, and legally, and he's going to get it all to manage because he gets it. That's Rodney Dixon. And then finally is Carlin Williams. This is just a few of the people making crazy claims. Folks, if you want to go make a claim, that's how probate works. You can go to Minnesota, step into court, and make a claim that says, yeah, I was at a bar with Prince, 5 years ago, and he promised me $100,000 when he died. That's it. That's all you have to do is just show up, put it in writing, and file it in the court, and you're going to get considered. And this is going to be just a zoo. A Colorado prison inmate who claims to be Prince's son. And if so, he would be the sole heir of everything. So they're going to be doing some DNA testing on him. But, of course, he's in jail for possession of a firearm by a felon. But, you know, just throwing that out. Mm-hmm. It's just nuts.
Yeah, so, it's going to be crazy if that's how the story ends. There's some love child or something that never knew him or anything, which is sad in and of itself, but comes in and claims this estate. And with the way some of these stories go, that could happen. I mean, and obviously that's probably not what Prince wanted. But, you know, this is kind of like, I remember Jimi Hendrix's story, you know, the Hendrix story, another amazing musician, died without a will. After a long battle, it ends up going to his father, who at least had some relationship with. But then his father dies just shortly after that. And a half-sister that he never had any relationship with ends up getting his entire estate, whereas his brother, who toured with him and was like his best friend, had got nothing and was really the person that was probably closest to him in his life. It's just these odd outcomes that happen just because of the way the law is unfortunately structured that just defaults to tell you what's supposed to happen to your estate, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's really just nutty. Okay, so let's throw out another tip. So number one, you can avoid probate by having a trust. Matt said earlier that funding the trust is critical because even if Prince would have had the trust, if he doesn't transfer his music rights, transfer the real estate, transfer a variety of assets, we call this funding the trust. We walk clients through this. We have a paralegal that helps clients do this. That's called funding. So even if Prince would have had a trust, if he didn't fund it, he'd still be back in probate. So there's three or four main assets we'd like to see in a client's trust funded. That would be your home, any businesses or rental property or real estate. Number three would be your retirement accounts or extra cash accounts, something like that, and then even life insurance, because we want all these assets to go into your trust and be distributed according to some rules. My third tip, just to throw this out and get it rolling here with some practical advice, is be creative with your trust. That's the beauty of a trust. They're so much better than a will because you can distribute money to kids in stages. You can distribute money to charity. Excuse me. Some of you may have nieces, nephews, parents that you want to take care of in their latter years, have money go into a trust for grandkids, for education. If your kids are on drugs, it's going to be held at bay until their life's in order. You can disinherit that son-in-law you hate. I mean, there's all these cool things mm-hmm. that you can do in a trust. And that's a really beautiful aspect of being creative in getting your trust done.
And I want to throw out another tip here. We're just going to throw tips back and forth, I think, here, because, remember the Terry Schiavo case, because this is another part of the estate plan. And remember Terry Schiavo, this was the 90s, Mark. I mean, I know you're an 80s guy. This is the 90s. he had George W. Bush speaking about this, and it was this whole controversy for, 6 months to a year. She was in a vegetative state, and there was no estate planning done, no indication of what she wanted to happen. Spouse of hers says, I want the feeding tube pulled. She wouldn't have wanted to be a vegetable. Parents object. It goes through a lengthy court process. 14 different appeals were heard on this case. I mean, the President of the United States spoke out about this. It went to the Supreme Court. I mean, this is like, oh, my gosh, talk about drama. And the family is just fighting about this, and, which really should be a time when the parents of someone passing away and the spouse of someone kind of come together and can really mourn together. But in this situation, they fight. Now, how do you solve that? And this is happening as people are living older and older. This situation occurs more. You have what's called a living will. And the living will essentially says, what's the other name for it, Mark? The living will, some states call it the...
Oh, healthcare directive.
Healthcare directive, okay.
Healthcare.
But depending on what state you live in, it gets those names. And that basically says, hey, if I'm in a vegetative state, I want you to pull the plug. Or I don't want you to. And you make that decision ahead of time. Over the years, we've had to field calls on this from people who have been in this scenario. And it's a tough decision because if you're a spouse or a caretaker for a parent or something that helps them with their medical decision, and you're at the hospital and you may have to make this decision, you really want a document that this person signed ahead of time that says what they wanted to happen in this situation. You want to feel like you're the one having to pull the plug, so to speak. And so that's part of the estate plan that should be included in your estate plan with your trust that says what you want to happen to your assets. That's the living will for healthcare director. Remember Terry Schiavo, and that should be done when you complete your estate plan.
No, I love it. Let's keep the tips rolling here. We want our show to be very applicable and practical, so many of you can take these tips to the bank. And on that note, taking to the bank, let's talk money. A lot of people think an estate plan is going to be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive. I just met with a client out of Hawaii over the phone, and said, yeah, let's get your estate plan finished and let's get your will and trust done. And she was single. She had a net worth of $1 million or more. That's fine. And no big deal. And I was like, well, it's going to be around, you know, $800 to $1,000. We can just redo what you've had before because it really couldn't be updated. It was such a mess. And she's like, hold it. You just said $1,000 at most. I said, yeah, that's about it at most. And she's like, the quotes I've gotten the last two attorneys I talked to were almost $3,000 to $5,000. $3,000 to almost $5,000. And she goes, as soon as I told them how much I was worth, they threw out a big figure. And I said, I am so sorry. That's not how we operate. Whether you're worth $1 million or $10 million, our fees are going to be the same. Now, of course, if there was some technical or additional planning with someone with some more assets, we'd just bill some hourly on top of that. But that's it, folks. Be careful. If someone's trying to sell you some package deal that's in the multi-thousands of dollars, it really doesn't need to be that way. Our deluxe package with unlimited attorney support helping you nail it down and figure it out and the paralegals transferring the document up to three properties is $1,800. But during our special right now, 3 weeks, it's 25% off. But that's it. Sorry, that led me into our little special right now. But, I mean, we're anywhere from during our special this next 3 weeks, $600 to $1,300 to get anybody's estate plan done, and it's going to last you the rest of your life, maybe some minor updates. Mm-hmm. So don't think it has to be expensive either to get your estate plan done.
Yeah, and I, even just the most common married couple doing an estate plan, I mean, that's $899 under the special right now. That's a very, very reasonable fee. If you're going on LegalZoom or trying to figure it out yourself, you're going to spend as much on that with no attorney support or anybody back that up besides, your own self. They're kind of doing your estate plan for the first time, and you're never going to do it again. So why are you going to go through that anguish?
Yeah. Well, let me throw out a quickie tip, and that is the pet estate planning. I love to talk about and joke about this. It's real. I don't mean it's a joke. I have some funny stories about it. I'm going to be in Seattle this weekend. If some of you on the newsletter have seen those links, if you're up in the Northwest, come check me out. Great little workshop. I'll be talking about pet estate planning, some funny stories. But it's a real issue, too. So when you're doing your estate plan, if you have cats, dogs, horses, cattle, livestock, special animals can be very, very special. Don't talk to my wife about her two little schnauzers. Oh, my gosh. If one of them were to pass away, we'd be having a funeral procession down Main Street. So, and it's true. Animals are such an important companion to people at any stage in life. So an estate plan can appoint a guardian for your pets and set aside a little money to take care of them as well.
Yeah, and of course, you got the Leona Helmsley story, the billionaire who died and left her entire estate to her pet poodle. Was it a poodle? Of course, that was...
Yeah, that's right. It was something like that, yeah.
It didn't work out so well, but but that's not the type of pet estate plan you're talking about, Mark.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
Well, I want to throw out just a couple other tips because I want people to keep in mind what the estate plan does for you. We talked about it, avoiding probate. We've talked about it, keeping things private, making it easier to transfer assets, avoiding that, kind of vegetative state situation, dealing with your pets. But I also want to talk about some of the restrictions you can put into your estate plan and your trust. Some of the common things to think about, especially if you have younger children, teenagers, younger adults, is putting restrictions if you were to pass away, like if, let's say, a car accident, or maybe you're in your middle age years and you have younger heirs who would be over 18, who would get everything by law. But you may want to have that drawn out over time. You may want restrictions. If they say have a drug or alcohol addiction or creditors chasing them down, and so you want some of those restrictions built in. Maybe you want money to pass over time. We've had lots of clients do cool things and about how to give their estate to their family over time that really tries to make as much of an impact on their heirs as possible. And it's unique to them. And those are, we have some ideas on how to do that. But those are the things you can do in the estate plan. You get to have more control. I know Mark likes to say you get control from the grave, but think of how your estate can pass over time and if your 18-year-old kid would really be ready to receive all of your estate.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to throw out one more tip, and then, folks, we'll be bringing it to a close today. Maybe we got a 5-star review that you want to throw out there, Matt, and we'll remind you again about some of the upcoming events and specials. One more tip here that I think is important for you parents out there if you have minor children. And there's a lot of people that think, oh, I don't need an estate plan. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have rentals yet. But you got kids. I was just talking to a client this morning that he's got a 5-year-old and he's divorced. And he's like, if something happened tomorrow, I don't have any plan. You know, where's my stuff going to go? Am I going to drop it in the lap of this 5-year-old? And then she's going to turn 18 and we've got another Lindsay Lohan running around, you know? And no offense to Lindsay. I love her and
love
I watch TMZ. Watch out. And so here's what I recommend is when you're talking about who's going to raise your children, be thinking about the guardian. And I usually don't appoint a couple as a guardian. Appoint one individual. Because if you appoint your sister and her husband as guardian, what happened if they get divorced? Did you want your brother-in-law or sister-in-law to raise the kids? I don't know. Now they've got a custody battle through a divorce for a child that's not even theirs. And so appoint an individual and then a backup to that individual to be a guardian. And folks, think about maybe appointing your mom that's 70 years old to be your guardian of your child is not a good idea. She says she'd raise your kids, but she's in her 60s or 70s. Don't throw your kids on her lap. Be thinking of someone that even be non-family. For years, my wife and I appointed godparents that weren't even family because they were going to raise our kids the best. They'd raise them the way we would. And we didn't have a family member we really trusted. We've modified that since. But look for someone that's going to have the energy and youth to raise youthful energy to raise your kids. Don't just appoint grandma because you love grandma. You're going to create a disaster for her too.
All right. Well, I've got this 5-star review on iTunes. As many of you know, we love to get listeners on iTunes and the podcast. Every week, you know, we're loading up the new show there. So if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. It helps other people find the show. We had one from Peaches, 3653. that's not Mark Kohler coming in here sneaking in. Peaches,
that's my weekend handle.
Yeah. Peaches. But 5-star review, very informative. Says I've learned a lot of practical and useful information about taxes, law, and real estate investment on this show. So thanks for the tip, or excuse me, thanks for the review, Peaches, and please get out and give us a review. Peaches, if you send us, Peaches, I know it's not your name, but if you do give us a 5-star review, send us an email, and we'll give you a free copy of Minor Mark's book, and please continue to listen on iTunes and help spread the word about our show.
Well, love it. And I hate to bring this up because for the BYU fans out there, you'll appreciate this, but we did have Jaron Bergeson on our chat line pop off and give us the correct trivia just off the cuff for the 1984 national championship win. He said Robbie Bosco was the quarterback of BYU in 1984.
Yes.
And the LA Raiders defeated Washington Redskins 38-9 in Super Bowl 18 in 1984. And Marcus Allen was the Super Bowl MVP. So, Jerem, thank you for your contribution there. And you just dropped that right off the cuff. So,
yeah, nice. I can tell you, I know he did not need to Google that stuff. I mean, that's in that guy's brain. He doesn't need to Google that.
Yeah. He can get you stuck at the water cooler for hours. Do not get caught around the water cooler with Jaron Bergeson. I'm telling you right now. Yeah, you will regret it.
At least during football season. Yeah.
Yeah, especially during football season. And then if you mention the word Broncos, buckle up. So keep your arms and hands in. Now, in conclusion of this amazing show, which I had a lot of fun doing, and I love my co-host, Matt Sorensen, I just want to remind all of you, please be registered for our newsletter. Check your spam every Tuesday morning and get it configured so that our emails don't go into your spam. We're going to be announcing tomorrow and giving out the link to sign up for our annual estate planning special and work with an attorney. This is not just get it out the door cheap. You're going to work with an attorney to design your estate plan. The pricing is incredible. We handle it in all 50 states. You'll be assigned to an attorney that will personalize it to your situation. You'll love it. And you will not be in probate court with Prince in Minnesota. We do not need that for you. This is not good. So please check out our estate planning special. Be here next week. Matt, any final words?
Hey, stay calm and estate plan on.
I love it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to live long. And I like it. And we'll see everybody next Wednesday at for another show of Refresh Your Wealth. Please share our podcast with your friends and family. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.